The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I'd like for us to begin the sermon today by all turning to 1 John chapter 5. We'll begin the sermon today by reading from 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Have we overcome the world? Have we been born of God? For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, by living by the faith of and living by the faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, we see from these two verses that this is an important and a vital key to overcoming the world. And I'm not talking about just overcoming the world, meaning the world of sin, but what I'm referring to and what these verses are referring to is everything and anything that might hinder our relationship with God. This also includes the choices that we make. I think all of us understand and all of us know that the world offers us so many, many choices for us to select from as our own personal problem of choice. They offer so many, and we get to choose anyone we choose. And we make lots of them. And we have just seen through these two verses that he that believes, he that lives his life by the faith of Jesus Christ, living our lives as the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, which that is going to entail living the whole way of life that is found in the pages of the Bible, we're going to overcome the world. And that includes even choices that we make that are contrary to God and to God's way of life. So let me ask a question. What do you know about the problem of anxiety and boredom? Because you see, they are choices that are offered to us by the world. And too many times, we choose them as our problems that we take on as our own personal problem choices. Anxiety and boredom. Are you aware that the problem of anxiety, just starting with that one, affects 23 million people in this country, not in the world, but in this country. It causes problems at work, it causes problems within our families, and it causes problems within our social lives. That's every area of our life. It causes way too many people to have this as their personal problem of choice to become locked in and locked out. In fact, it is considered to be the most common of all mental disorders, is anxiety. It is also a problem within the Church of God. It's not just a world's problem, this is a people problem, and it also affects people who have God's Holy Spirit. People who live by, who believe 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. He that is overcome is he that has faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But we make choices. We make these personal problem choices in our lives that affects us in such negative ways that seems as if at times it's taking us away from the way of life of God. And the fact is, it does. Those choices do. And what is so interesting is, even for those who do not have God's Holy Spirit at this particular time, but especially for those within the Church of God who have God's Holy Spirit and have God's Holy Spirit available to us, what is so interesting is that the problem has such a somewhat simple solution. And yes, you guessed it because we've already talked about it. We've already made the statement. We read those verses. And that is, faith in Jesus Christ can help any one of us overcome these problems of anxiety and the problem of boredom. You're going to say, why are you tying these two together? We'll see that in just a couple of moments here. The reason that this solution is so simple and overcoming these crippling problems that people have is because God has shown us the solution to both anxiety and to boredom by the teachings of Jesus Christ as found in the Bible. I want to go to one place. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm not reading verses here today that you've never heard before, that you've never heard me read before. It's the putting together in a way that I think is going to help us. It certainly is my intent that it helps any of us who may have a problem from time to time with anxiety or have a problem with boredom. These are the solutions. These are the solutions. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat or more than food, and the body more than clothing or raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? In other words, aren't we much more important in the plan of salvation than they are? And he takes care of them. Let's go to verse 29. You can read all of these verses, but let's go to verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, in other words, it's here today, gone tomorrow, the grass, he takes care of the grass, shall he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? This word faith here can simply be also talking about in meaning living by the whole complete way of life of God that is described in the pages of the Bible. It means embracing it all. It means living by this whole complete way of life of God. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, those who are part of the world, those who are not even part of the world, they seek after those things, and those things are still provided there. That's what it is saying. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. Verse 33. But think about occasionally, it's not what it says, is it? It doesn't say entertain the thought. We might want to think about who God is. It says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's living the entire complete whole way of life of God. This phrase, but seek you first the kingdom of God, it is talking about the plan of salvation because that's where it culminates. The entire whole plan of salvation of God and his righteousness, which is talking about the whole complete way of life of God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What these verses do, these verses are reminding us of God's total, complete love for care and care for us. These verses are teaching us where to place our priorities in our lives. And these verses are also revealing to us our own personal limitations. We can't do it all by ourselves. We have to focus on God. Therefore, putting God's way of life first is the solution or is the answer to all anxieties, to all boredoms. Absolutely. That's the key. That's the rest. That's what it is talking about. In addition, we also see that through Jesus' ministry, as he walked around the earth, the things that he taught we have recorded for us in the pages of the Bible, and also his current role as our high priest, he becomes the means by which anxiety and boredom can be relieved. He becomes the means. In other words, it has to be done that way. It has to be done through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Whatever the anxiety is, wherever it's coming from, the answer is we take it to Jesus Christ in prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, looking to Him to solve the issues. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've read these verses to people and I say, yes, but you don't understand. And I go, yes, I understand. I just don't agree with your thinking. I understand, but I don't agree with your conclusions. And yes, I know that there are times, personally, whenever I've gotten myself into this situation, this is a human situation. This isn't just because a person is bad or wicked or any of those kinds of things, or away from God or any of that. It has nothing to do with that. It's a human situation, and from time to time, we can all catch ourselves there. But there are solutions, and there are solutions, and the solution is, I don't want to sound Protestant on you here, but the solution is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. Let's look now at this problem that too many people face today that really is the opposite of anxiety, and that is the problem of boredom. I'm bored. Where anxiety is the state of uneasiness and apprehension, boredom is the condition of mental weariness, listlessness, and discontent. You go, yeah, that all sounds real easy, but what are you talking about? We're going to talk about it. This is what we're going to focus on through the remainder of the sermon is this. Anxiety is often the cause of thinking that we have too much to do at any one time, where on the other hand, boredom is the result of thinking there is nothing to do. Or there is nothing else to do. Or thinking that I'm tired of it, whatever it is. And so therefore we seek something else. We are such pleasure seekers. And if you don't believe that that is true, just simply look at all the modern inventions that we have today. Do we need all of these things? Yeah, we need them because society can't exist, right? Society listed from the time of the creation to now without these things. But that society didn't really live. The world died out long ago and we really aren't here. No, there is a way of life that you can live without all of this stuff. Am I saying that it's wrong to have this? Absolutely not. It's the focus. It's the focus, and that is what I'm talking about. Anxiety is one of these things that is more often thought of as a curse for adults, whereas on the other hand, boredom is often the complaint of children. And what parent is there who has probably never heard their child say, I'm bored? But brethren, the point is that I'm making in the sermon today is that boredom is becoming both a curse and a complaint of adults also. Even within the church of God. Like anxiety, boredom can also have a debilitating effect in our relationship with God. And obviously, when that happens, it also has a debilitating effect in our usefulness to Jesus Christ and the church of God. And that is why we have to defeat and we have to overcome this problem of boredom. It is considered and it is treated today as a disease. It is not. It is a choice. It is a choice by what we put first. If we are not putting God first, what's going to happen? We're going to become bored. Because there's not enough stuff to fill in the gap that God takes care of. That's the cause. That's the cause. It's what do we put first? And so I think that a good place for us to start is with understanding some other things about boredom. So let's begin by defining it, and I want to start And I've done research in this. It's kind of approaching this in somewhat of a little different approach than I've done recently in sermons, because I'm going to be quoting from references and sources and, you know, and people and things like that. And the one I want to start with today about defining boredom is the self-proclaimed boredom expert, and that's Garfield the cat. He offers some tips on how to tell if you really are bored. One is you paint little faces on your nails and pretend each finger is a person. You spend hours watching bread mold. You start playing the spoons. You wonder if you're really bored. More seriously, definition according to the American Heritage Dictionary, boredom is listed as a condition of mental weariness, listlessness, and discontent. Now, what is of interest is the statement that the word bored or boredom didn't even come into the English language or vocabulary until the 18th century, when we came into what became known as the Age of Enlightenment. When we started to be enlightened, we realized as a people, we're bored. Didn't even come in the usage as a word until the 18th century. It wasn't even a concept. So let's take a look at some of the causes of boredom. One is boredom is often the result of too much wealth and too much time on our hands. And it can be the both, or it can be either one by itself. Too much wealth can cause boredom. You go, well, I don't know about that because I don't have wealth and therefore I'm not bored. But are you bored about not having the stuff that you couldn't get? Probably. Or having too much time on our hands. See, when people were working long hours, and I'm not implying that we should be out working 18 hours a day. That's not what I'm implying either. But we have far too much downtime, even in jobs. And you go, yeah, but I'm working my you-know-what off to get out there and provide the income and all of this. Do we really believe that the whole way of the work society today is the way that is within the teachings and the frame of the way God would want it to be? And the answer is probably most of us would shake our heads and say, absolutely not. This is not the way God would want it. It's the way man has made it. It's not the way God would want it. So is this a God problem or is this a man's problem? It's a man's problem. We created it. We've created this. According to some experts, many different experts and references, in fact, they state that boredom is considered today in the United States, primarily where my focus is geared. It is also in other countries, even within the developing countries where they haven't had all the stuff that we've had for generations. It's also becoming an epidemic among children there. And they state that the primary reasons, television, videos, and by videos there meaning the movies available, the video games, whether you do it on a computer, whether you have it on your little devices, all that are called, I don't even know the names of them, or computer games. References, sources recognize that the major cause among children is television, videos, and computer games. I want to tell you a story. When we lived in Pasadena in the ministry there, I was doing an article and I was trying to get some information. So I contacted the Pasadena Police Department and I talked to them, and the subject that I was dealing with was teenage prostitution. Well, one of the pieces of information I thought was absolutely incredible to think about, and this is in the early to mid 80s. And they said the age of prostitution within the Pasadena area, which was considered to be an affluent society, had dropped from 17 to 13 over a period of about a year. And I said, why? What caused it to go down? And they said, the arcades, with the introduction of Pac-Man, teenage girls, 13, were selling themselves for quarters to play the games. statistical fact in the early 1980s. I have no clue what it is today. But the fact is, today, all you have to do is pick up your iPod or pick up your whatever it is and go to the computer or go to your television and do all of these things and you can play all of these games there or your cell phone. And am I saying all these things are wrong? No, that's not the point either. It's what is our focus. But when we have girls who are prostituting themselves to the age of 13 for quarters to play a stupid game, we've got a problem in our society because they're bored with their lives. And these activities absolutely bombard not just the children today, but they bombard each and every one of us with fast-moving stimuli that does not give us a chance to slow down. It does not give us a chance to reflect thoughtfully, or it does not give us a chance to learn to progress new information or to internalize it because it's so much new stuff that is coming at us. The internet has become both a blessing and a curse at the same time. It's because of what has made itself available to us. According to a New York Times article dated March 11th, 1997, I'm summarizing the gist of the article, but they were showing that Russian women are finding that boredom and depression are side effects of wealth. They didn't have stuff. They didn't have money. They didn't have the availability of wealth to be able to buy things until around this period of time. 1997, they started coming out and they started making money, and now they're bored. It's the same thing happening today more and more in China, which up until just modern China did not have the concept of boredom. One reference stated, this is Lewis Mumford, by his very success in inventing labor-saving devices, modern man has manufactured an abyss of boredom that only the privileged class and earlier civilizations had ever fathomed or ever even thought about. Now anybody can. Boredom also, one of the main causes can be traced to a preoccupation with self, to the neglect of what is around us. That's the disconnect. So in other words, what this is talking about, boredom is what happens when we lose contact with the universe. That's one guy's definition of it. And I'd make it a little bit closer to us, and that is, for the Christian, it is what happens when our focus is off of God, off of Jesus Christ, off of the kingdom of God, the plan of salvation, and God's whole way of life. When we're living in a way of life that is not based upon Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then the Christian becomes bored just like every other man and woman and child. Another reference stated, when people are bored, it is primarily with their own selves. Boredom has been contributed to unchallenging jobs. You know, back before the 18th century, when people were primarily in this country farmers, you didn't have such a thing as an unchallenging job. That was your livelihood. That was how you took care of your family. It was farming. It was taking care of your family. You weren't bored with it because that was the way you live life. But it's unchallenging jobs or unfulfilled expectations. Well, it didn't go the way I wanted to, so I'm bored. Or lack of physical activity, or being too much of a spectator and too little of a participant in activities. Boredom is also a major cause or a major motivation of the problems that we find in marriage and in marriage counseling. This is me. This is not research. I'm telling you where I find it. I am finding more and more and more boredom within marriages. And I'll tell you, it is the number one cause. It is the number one motivation for adultery and for pornography in marriages, and the number one cause for divorce, even within the Church of God. Because they're not rejoicing with the wife of their youth. There are other things can get in front of you. If we're seeking God first, how can within marriage, this is not a sermon on marriage, but how can in our marriages within the Church of God, how can it not be that we're seeking that first? And I understand. We all, from time to time, we all have problems. And I understand that. But what is the focus? Where are we going to focus? And that's the problem even within the church. Another cause that boredom has attributed to is focusing too much on me. Focusing too much on self. And not focusing on others. Whether that be within or out of marriage is not even the point here. I want to see at this point, look at some of the dangers of boredom. When listless or discontent, we are susceptible to what promises excitement, but it's not delivered. We're susceptible to whatever it is that's going to offer us excitement. Why do you think there is such a successful business of bars and dancing and those guys? Is dancing and going to these places wrong? And again, that's not the point. That's not the point. But these kinds of places, even within our economy, with our economy going down, these kinds of places have skyrocketed, and more people are going to these kinds of places because they're looking for an escape because they're bored. And so they're looking for excitement somewhere else. I found this one quote, and I thought it was real interesting. It's from the man by in an article he wrote on boredom. It's called Charles Colton. And he said, "Boredom has made more gamblers than greed, more drunkards than thirst, and perhaps as many suicides as despair." When a believer, when a true believer is bored, we might consider if he is truly active in his service to God. Is he? Or is she? And we might ask, how useful is he to God? Because remember, the reason that we escape, the reason that we don't have the boredoms is what? Putting God first. So if we're not putting God first, are we really truly active in our service to God? And the answer is no, because God has to be first. And therefore, we have to ask the question, and that is he very useful to God in his righteousness? That has to be first. Please also understand, for the true believer, and I mean one who has faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the promised one to come and to bring total salvation, offering it to all of mankind. So a person who really has faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, as our Master, as our Messiah, it is possible to be totally, completely free from boredom. How? One of the first things that we need to realize is that Jesus Christ changes our focus in life. We don't. He does. But we have to be doing things first. You know, there's an old song, and I'm not going to sing it. Looking for love in all the wrong places. And I know you've heard the phrase in the song. I don't know what the name of the song is, but it's probably that. We expect Jesus Christ to make changes in our focus in our lives. But if we're looking in the wrong place, because we're someplace else other than where he wants us to be or he expects us to be, we're not going to be there, and he's not going to do it. But the change of focus in our lives comes from our total trust and complete looking to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is our boss. He is my owner. And so we also realize that boredom is the result of an obsession with self and material possessions. And we also come to the realization that Jesus Christ teaches us various things. And I want to look at a couple of these things right now. And the first one that I want us to focus on so that we will see that this is not just something that I'm throwing out here, but these are the teachings of Jesus Christ, that boredom isn't to be there. Because if one of the primary causes of boredom is focusing too much on self, because we're not focusing on God, so I'm looking at it from the point of view of this, an obsession with self and wealth and me happy, me first, me first, me first, then we certainly can look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, and I can shoot that down very, very quickly with some of the teachings that he taught. The first one is he taught us that we are to deny the self. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, 23 and 24. Luke 9, verse 23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If we're not seeking first us, then we're denying self. And if we're denying self, we're not seeking first us and our own satisfaction. Does God have a problem that we have a cell phone that has all the gadgets? Of course not. Are we seeking God first? Does he have a problem that we have a Game Boy or whatever the things are today are and we can play these games from time to time? Is he have a problem with that? Probably not. Depends on what the game is. I certainly think that he would have a problem with certain games. But I'm not getting into that. I'm talking about it as a whole. Is there a problem with it? I don't think so. But let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. This is not a Sabbath thing. This is not a once a week thing. This is a daily thing, and follow me. How are we following God daily? How are we following after Jesus Christ daily and not denying ourselves if we are bored and thinking on self and woe is me because I don't have and I want to do all these other exciting things? How are we seeking God first? I'm not sure that we are. Again, I ask, is it wrong to do some of these things? Of course not. I'm not saying that. I'm not implying that. I don't believe that it is. I believe that it's okay. I'm talking about focus here. Luke 9 and verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Another thing that I can show you that we're going to see that Jesus Christ also teaches is that people who are obsessed with self are never happy. Because true joy, true happiness comes where? From God. And if we're seeking it someplace else, oh yeah, I'm excited and I'm happy at the moment. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about happy as God would mean happy. Something that's going to be happy in the morning and tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night and the next night and 100 years from now. Happy. A person who is obsessed with the self is never really happy. Jesus Christ also teaches us that people who lose themselves in service to God are never bored. We have to remember, and if you're writing notes, write this down, God changes our focus on life. What are we focusing on? Just ask yourself right at this moment, what am I focused? I don't mean, well, I'm listening to this sermon. I'm talking about in life, it's going on around you right now. What are you focusing on? Let's go on. Jesus also teaches us that we're to change the object of our affections. And let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you're seeking to satisfy the self, satisfy the self, satisfy the self, that's where the treasure is. And God tells us very plainly where he says, you can put your trust, you can put your treasure in a lot of places. There's one right place. You know, where do we put our treasure? One right answer. It's on God. Are these other things okay? Is it okay to go dancing? Of course it is. Is it okay to, you know, even to go into a place, depending on the place, and have a drink, you know, with your family or with your wife or, you know, with a colleague after work, you know, those kind of things. Is that okay? Is that an okay thing? Probably. Where is the focus? A very good point for us also to realize and for us to think about and understand is that the pleasure of earthly things at best is fleeting. That at the best. Followed by the inevitable letdowns. And what I mean by those inevitable letdowns is what the way the scripture puts it, and that is the passing pleasures of sin. That's how the Bible refers to it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Hebrews 11 and verse 25. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He's talking about Moses, but who he's talking about is not the point. It should be the true thing for us as well. And I think we all can certainly agree and dare say that the only permanent possession that we have is in the coming family of God, the kingdom of God. And that is where our affections are to be placed. Again, I ask, is it wrong? Is it sin to have earthly things? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. And so with that, please understand, Jesus' teachings are designed to give us great joy. So what he wants us to do, even this point of that we're to deny ourselves, as an end result of that, there's to be great joy as a result of that. We're thinking, oh, woe is me. I'm not going to be able to have any fun. I'm not going to be able to do that. No, that's not what he's saying. Are we to give up self? Are we to deny ourselves? Absolutely. What is God's intention in that? To give us great joy. And go, well, that's not joy. I'm already telling you, if you come to that conclusion, you're looking in the wrong places. You're not looking at the Word of God in a, you know, with the right kind of thoughts. Because this is the Word of God. This is what he says. I didn't write these verses. Let's go to John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So he gives us all of these teachings that he has for us, all of this complete, total way of life, which he wants us to live. Is it to bore us? No, it's to give us great joy. And not only great joy, but that our joy will be full. There are people today who have all the stuff and they're bored because they keep going after self, indulging, and they want more and more and more. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy will remain in you and that your joy will be full. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I have shown you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's the total opposite of boredom. Where boredom is focusing on self, the way of life of God is not focusing on self. Do you have to take care of the needs of self? Absolutely. Because if we don't, we're worse than an infidel. If a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. And to deny and not take care of his family is worse than an infidel. So we know that we're to be doing these things. We know we're to do this. And so self has to be taken care of in that godly principle, in that godly way of life. But he says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's not boredom. That's the opposite of. Brethren, do we realize that if we have living, active faith in Jesus Christ to follow his teachings, we will be attacking a major root cause of boredom, which is a preoccupation with self. Well, I'm bored. And I know many different parents over the years have dealt with it in many different ways. And they said, well, I'm bored. And they said, well, if you're bored, go clean the bathroom. I'll give you something to do. They're still focusing on self. So the parent gets what they want. They want the bathroom done, but the child is still bored because it's still not the answer. But the bathroom needed to get cleaned. And so it was an okay thing, but it still didn't give them the answer. And I'm not saying that when a parent has told a child to do that, they did a wrong thing. I'm just saying they were taking care of something at the moment in a way to help the child out, to get the mind focusing off of it. And a lot of times when you get them occupied on whatever it is, they are not any longer bored. Many people are bored simply because they know their efforts mean very little. Yet having stated that, Jesus also desires for us to be involved in a service that is fulfilled with eternal, age-lasting consequences. And that is the saving of one's own soul, own life, and being involved in that in a saving service, in a saving work, that helps to save others around us. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And brethren, when we really think about this in proper perspective, what we see here in verse 16 is even perhaps more important than gaining the whole world. Matthew 16 and verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man gain or give in exchange for his soul? The apostles of Jesus Christ found their service to God to be a source of great joy. And many of these guys that we have documented statements in the Bible, they were beaten. They were not bored. I'm not saying volunteer to go out and get beat. That's not my point either. And this is not what God has asked us to do. But these guys would go out and they would do something. And they healed a man. Acts chapter 5, 4 and 5, this crippled man, he rises up and walks, but I don't have what I don't have. I can't give you what I have is the name of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. This guy does. Jumps around and he's leaping. And it says, and from his womb, from the womb, he was crippled. And he was that way. And the guy was somewhere in his 40s. This is what it says. It's documented. It's what it says in the scripture. As a result of that, the apostles, Peter and John, in this case, they were called into before the Sanhedrin. And they said, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And they leave and they go straight back to the temple and preach in the name of Jesus. Eventually brought them back again and says, we chose you not to do that. And they said, we're going to be God rather than man. And so the Sanhedrin, so they beat them. So they wouldn't do it. And it says, and they walked out rejoicing that they had been beaten for God. They were not bored. Their focus was on God. And they went straight to the temple and kept preaching Jesus. When John saw the fruits of his labors, he wrote that he had no greater joy. 3 John, verses 3 and 4. There's only one chapter. 3 John, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walked in the truth. And he says, they came and they told me this, that you're walking in the truth. In verse 4, and he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. This is the thing that makes me the happiest, is knowing this. And then the prospect of seeing his spiritual children in the presence of the Messiah also gave Paul hope and joy in the future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ as he's coming? Isn't this really what gives us our hope and our joy? And the answer is, yeah, it's you being in the presence of the Messiah. For you are our glory and joy. Brother, when we are engaged in the work of God, and when I use the phrase engaged in the work of God, I am meaning any level of engagement. Any level of engagement. Our labors are not in vain, and this has great consequences. Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, listen to this, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. 1 Corinthians 15:58. New International Version. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You're looking for substitutes for boredom, getting more involved in serving God. Because, brethren, when we truly realize that when we stand against all the various trials and tests of this world, knowing that we will stand with Jesus Christ at his coming, here's the question. How can anyone really be bored with that? King Solomon learned that after a life of every excess that this world had to offer, he makes some very interesting statement and some conclusions, and that is that this world has nothing lasting to offer. It doesn't matter how bored you get, whatever you do to do away with the boredom, it's not lasting. How do we know? Because Solomon said, I've already tried it all. I already know. You don't have to do it, I've already told you. You don't have to do it, I've already told you. And exciting as it may sound to our human minds and to our human emotions, Solomon stated that it all proved that it was altogether vanity. This word vanity in Ecclesiastes, we're going to go there. When you really understand the word, this word vanity means, that's it. It's a breath. It's like the exhaling of a breath. That's vanity. Not much value. Just the one. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from me. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. In other words, as bored as you could ever get and have available to you any resource, anything that is out there to drive away this boredom, he tried it. That's what he's saying. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had worked and the labors that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. At best, it was a breath and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. I also know that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, I'd be remiss if I didn't make this point. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. it says that it's okay to seek for, to go out, to look for things to actually enhance your life. That's what he's talking about. It's an encouragement to do so. But it's not to replace. It is not to replace Jesus Christ, God the Father, the whole plan of salvation of God, and his righteousness. It's not to replace that as being first. But it's okay to do that. That's why I kept saying, is it wrong to do these things? No. The reason no is because this is what this verse says. It says it is okay. It is showing that it is okay to experience things in this physical life, and there can be a rejoicing in this physical life. We also see Solomon's conclusion. He says that the purpose, the true purpose of man, the true focus of man, was to have fear of God and keeping his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty or the whole of man. This is it. In other words, it's a summation of seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the summation. This is what this verse is saying. So if Solomon had only listened to the words of his father David, who wrote about the great reward in keeping God's commandments, then Solomon might not have experienced so much vanity in this life. Let's go to Psalm 19 in verse 7. Psalm 19 in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making simple the wise. That does away with boredom. You just think about the verse. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That takes away boredom, if you really think about the verse. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than fine gold, sweeter than any honey and honeycomb. It doesn't matter what you try to solve wherever you are and your boredoms and your anxieties and whatever else is going on. No matter whatever you try to solve it with, that's not the solution. This is what David is saying also. It's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's living the godly way of life. Verse 11, moreover, by them is your servant warned. This sermon, I have intended it to be as a warning to all of us. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. That's where great reward comes. It comes from living the godly way of life. Boredom is a result of preoccupation of the vanities of this life. Jesus Christ came to deliver us from any and all sense of listlessness and discontent. He does this by giving us purpose and direction in life. That as a result of living this godly way of life, that we will find great joy in serving God, in serving his children. When a person has come to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and has become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, there is no reason for boredom in his life. So I conclude with a question. Am I bored? Or am I experiencing great joy in Jesus Christ? And you know what, brethren? For us, the choice is ours. Because we choose one or the other. And the ironic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his children, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And we are so blessed to be part of the children of God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.